A Shambles in Belgravia by Kim Newman, being a reprint from the reminiscences of Colonel Sebastian Moran, late of the first Bangalore pioneers. To Professor Moriarty, she's always that bitch. Irene Adler arrived in our Conduit Street rooms shortly after I undertook to assist my fellow tenant in enterprises of which he was the preeminent London specialist. That morning, the professor was thinking through two problems simultaneously. A portion of his brain was calculating the timings of solar eclipses observable in far-flung regions. Superstitious natives can sometimes be persuaded a white man has power over the sun and needs to be given handy tribal treasures if Bwana Sahib promises to turn the light on again. A jolly good trick if you can get away with it. And the greater part of his attention, however, was devoted to the breeding of wasps. "Your bee is a law-abiding soul," he said in his reedy, lecturing voice, "as reverent to their queen as the clods of England, dedicated to the production of honey for the betterment of all, buzzing about promiscuously pollinating to please addle-minded poets. They only defend themselves at the cost of their lives, for they sting but once. Wasps do nothing but sting. Persistently venomous, they fly from one assault to the next, unwelcome everywhere, thoroughly nasty sorts. We are not bees, Moran." He smiled, a creepy thing for a man with lips as thin as his. His near fleshless head moved from side to side. I was reminded of a cobra I chopped into three wriggling sections in the Hindu Kush. Yeah, I couldn't follow Moriarty's drift, but that was usual. I nodded and hoped he would come eventually to a point. A schoolmaster before taking to villainy, his rambles tended to wind towards some inverted moral.
"Summer will be upon us soon," he mused. "The season for picnicking in the park, for tiny fat arms to go bare, for governesses to sit and gossip unveiled, for shop girls and their beaux to spoon in public. This will be a bumper year for our yellow and black striped friends. My first generation of Polistes pestilentialis is hatching. The world is divided, Moran, between those who sting and those who are the stingies."
"And you would be the stingers," shrilled that voice.
The American nightingale had been admitted by Mrs. Halifax, the superannuated harlot who kept brothel on the lower floors. Moriarty had persuaded Mrs. H. to let us have the flat rent-free. Following the interview at which this matter was arranged, she wore a bandage on her right hand. He acquired a neatly amputated paperweight. In these rooms, the consultantship of Moriarty and Moran received clients.
"Miss Irene Adler," acknowledged Moriarty. "Your Lucia de Lammermoor was acceptable, your Maria Stuarda indifferent, and you were perhaps the worst Emilia de Liverpool the stage has ever seen.
What a horrible man you are, James Moriarty."
His lips split and sharp teeth showed.
"My business is being horrible, Miss Adler. I make no effort at sham or hypocrisy."
"That, I must say, is a tonic," she smiled full bore, and arranged herself on a divan, prettily hiking her hemline up over well-turned ankles, shifting her décolletage in a manner calculated to set her swanny mams a-wobble.
Even Moriarty was impressed, and he could keep up a lecture on the grades of paper used in the forgery of high-denomination Venezuelan banknotes while walking down the secret corridor with the row of one-way mirror windows into the private rooms.
Irene Adler had the face of an angel child, the body of a full-grown trollop, and a voice like a steel needle slowly sliding into your brain.
Even warbling to an audience of tone-deaf Polacks, she hadn't lasted as prima donna. After her Emilia flopped so badly, the artistic director of the Warsaw Opera had to blow his brains out, the company cut her adrift, leaving her on the loose in Europe to the disadvantage of several ruling houses. And here she was on our set.